In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus spoke to the disciples in Capernaum, what could be called his headquarters in the Galilee. It was from here that Jesus sent out the 72 other people to heal and to preach, saying, "The kingdom of God is near you." Now, Jesus knew that everyone in the kingdom of God has the responsibility to witness about him to others. He knew that his time was growing short and that he would physically be leaving them. And the only way people would know about and hear about his love for them, his sacrifice for them, his grace and his mercy for them, would be for his disciples, his followers, to tell others. I've got to say, I think they did a pretty good job. Because we're here today since somebody told us about Jesus. So Jesus sent them out to practice ahead of time, to get a feeling for what they would be doing when he was gone. Jesus never said that it's going to be an easy task for witnessing for him. He tells the disciples that they are like lambs in the midst of wolves. And then he tells them what to say when people accept them. But he also tells them what to say and do when people reject them. Because not everybody was going to accept the good news and the redemption of his kingdom. What we need to remember today in 2022 is that Jesus wanted the disciples, those 72, to try to go out among people and tell others about Jesus Christ. You just have to be you to tell others what Jesus has done for you in your life. That's witnessing to him. And that will speak to the hearts of others. Now, there's no rules about where it has to be that you tell others about Jesus. It could be on the line at Walmart. Believe me, it could be in the hospital having a surgical procedure done on your hand or your foot. And you'd be surprised at the people you meet and they start talking about Jesus. Or maybe you start talking about Jesus and they receive it with open hands and open hearts. Jesus instructed these people to travel light. Today, people pack much differently. Have you ever stood at the airport and watched people go by with their bags? They might be going away for just a weekend, and they have three or four rolling bags. And those 72 were told to pack extremely light. His instructions were also to greet no one on the road, showing the urgency of their prophetic mission representing God. In that culture, it was offensive for people to withhold greetings from others. In our culture, we wave or we nod our head to say hello, an example of Southern hospitality. In the culture that Jesus grew up in and that Jesus lived in, it was important to be hospitable. And devout people tried to be the first to greet a person who was coming near. Jewish teachers of the law agreed, however, that you shouldn't interrupt your prayers in order to greet someone. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you know how they treasure hospitality. I personally struggle when I think of going to a strange land with a different language or culture and different foods. If I'm going to be depending on the hospitality of others, boy, it's a rude awakening. Having been to several countries in Europe and South America, I got to experience this firsthand. I have to admit, I'm a little better having been to Israel twice, and some of the unknown is gone. I have just got to ask you, does anybody here know what shawarma is? I'm seeing a blank stare. Well, what shawarma is, it's, and I didn't know about it until 2014, our last trip to Israel, and I've got to tell you, it's amazing. It's chicken or lamb in a pita with vegetables and this beautiful sauce. It's absolutely delicious. It's a great experience, and you're learning about different cultures. How about falafel? Have you had falafel? falafel is chickpeas ground up and fried in a ball. And it is really crunchy and delicious. But I have to tell you, in 1999, I could not get my kids. Teresa was 6 and John was 10. They wouldn't touch the falafel. We had to bribe them with ice cream, but they still didn't touch it. But I think it would be far different today. Falafel is just one of the wonderful features of the Middle East. Think of the thousands of Anglican missionaries who were walking in faith to spread the wonder and majesty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of them tried to remain obedient and faithful in cultures that they might not fully understand. But yet, they're there for a reason, to let the light of Jesus shine as they show others the way, the only way to salvation. In John 14, on the night before Jesus died, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them about heaven, and then he's going to prepare a place for them. The apostle Thomas wants to know the way to get there. So Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Well, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." That's John 14, verses 6 to 11. Jesus could not make his identity any clearer, so that they would understand and be able to share the absolute truth about Jesus with others. Remember that in just hours from that point, Jesus would be arrested, he would be tortured, and then in a few more hours, he would be nailed to the cross. He said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And so back in Capernaum, Jesus sends the 72 and the other missionaries to follow the model which he showed us. Healing the sick and praying, Jesus performed miracles so that people would believe in him. And he asks us to do the same. In fact, in John 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus explains, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it." Well, when Jesus makes the promise that if we ask for something in his name, he will do it, well, it's in the context of bringing people to faith. Jesus didn't do miracles to prove who he was. He did miracles to share his love, his compassion, and his mercy. He wanted to touch the leper who was instantly healed. He wanted to be touched by the woman with the bleeding issue. He wanted to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, not to prove who he was. He did it in the quiet of her room. He did it because of his compassion and love. And he still does that today. When people pray in his name for healing, for people to get better, for people to feel his presence, that's his compassion and his love. Not only are we to share the gospel of Jesus with others, but we need to be trusting in the power and the promises of Jesus. A great way to start this is take home your Sunday bulletin in your parish life. In the parish life is a list of people that need to be prayed for. Turn your coffee or tea in the morning. Why don't you pray and give some of those names to Jesus? He knows what to heal. You don't need to tell him, but just give it to him. See, he loves to hear from us. And when we call out somebody's names, it makes a great deal. You're presenting those names before Almighty God. People are usually deeply touched knowing that you would care for them enough to pray for them. Prayer touches people's hearts. When we pray for people, the first thing that we should do is invite the Holy Spirit to come and to touch them. He will. And they will have an experience of the presence of God because you prayed for them. That's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to someone. Jesus asks us to be a blessing to our neighbors, developing relationships with them, praying for them, and presenting the gospel to them. If we show Jesus' love to others, we can be like Peter, who on the day of Pentecost had all these people wondering what was going on with the strange noises and the languages and the tongues of fire. He got up and he said, "This is God, and this is what he wants to say to you." That very day, 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus and were baptized. Jesus is not pressuring you to go out, standing on a street corner and proclaiming the gospel, but he's asking you to live the gospel. Be a Christian who loves others. He's asking you to love your neighbor as yourself, as he spoke in Matthew 22:39. Please don't worry if the message is received, for this isn't something new. For Jesus told those 72 what to do if their message was not received. The spiritual battle has been going on from the beginning of time. As believers of Jesus Christ, just quietly walk away. Don't try to argue. Just quietly walk away and continue to lead your life as a Christian, sharing with those people who will accept his message. Take confidence that Jesus has given each one of you the authority to overcome the power of the enemy. As he said, nothing will harm you. That's Luke 10:19. Be assured that Jesus is with you and for you. For as he said, the kingdom of God is near you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.